On this week's episode of the Indie Center Podcast, we sit down with professional wrestler and actor Danny Villegas. But before we get into that, a word from our sponsors. All right, episode number 51. I am here with a professional wrestler and actor. He is a former Indie Center Podcast guest, my good friend, Danny Villegas. Brother, how you doing?
Brother, thank you for having me again, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for coming. And absolutely. I'm doing good. How have you been, man? I haven't seen you in over a year.
I've been good, man. Can't complain. Been good. Been just fighting this whole COVID thing like everyone else is, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
But it seems like you have like a battery stuck on your back, okay? Because you've just been working, even through COVID. So how have you been able to manage that?
Well, you know, since COVID, I've been working my full-time job since then. You know, I've been, you know, essential. So I've been working nonstop through COVID. You know, we actually got busier through COVID, you know, because I work for a commercial supply company. So, and then, you know, with the whole wrestling and acting, with wrestling, I didn't wrestle for 8 months through COVID.
No shit.
Yeah. Obviously when COVID hit in March, I stopped from March all the way through to until November.
You have know. You been, so between that time, rust is a thing. So have you been idle this entire time, or did you practice, keep your oils, you know?
Well, as far as the wrestling aspect, no, I didn't. I mean, I still stayed training, like in the gym and all that.
Okay.
But like, I didn't like, you know, practice with wrestling or nothing like that. So when I got in the ring for the first time in November for the 8 months, that was my first time actually back in the ring.
And how was that?
Oh, I felt it for a few days. Yeah. I felt it for a few days to say that. But I missed it. I missed it, you know, and it's funny because before then, you know, I kind of, you know, chilled out on my wrestling schedule, you know, just kind of save my body and all that.
Yeah.
But then you kind of don't realize how much you actually miss it, you know, once it's gone, you know, like you don't realize what you have until it's gone. So it's like for those 8 months, man, I was just itching to get back in the ring.
So within those 8 months, I'm sure you've been paying attention to wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Have you been able to be as engaged as you were before COVID to wrestling?
As far as like with mine, or what are you talking about, like with WWE
Network.
And stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like with that?
Because I'm going to tell
trying
you.
I'm trying to. It's hard, man. With, you know, I mean, obviously, have you watched the product lately?
I am not a fan.
Neither am I.
It's cringeworthy to have no audience there and to see wrestlers still be wrestlers, like heavy breathing. I'm gonna get you, and you know, there's nobody reacting to anything.
But you know, to their credit, you know, they worked the best with what they did.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they went first with you know, obviously nobody in the audience, so it's just them two in the ring. So like you said, you could hear everything as far as the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything. Yeah, and then they went to the, you know, they used the wrestlers as the fans. You know, just to throw some noise in there. You know, now with WWE, they got the like noise piped in, you know, like sound, you know.
Yeah, and I think they have, I'm not sure if they still do, but they have the whole stadium like surrounded by TV monitors for people at home to watch it.
Yep, they got that. But then, you know, you got the new promotion, AEW, they got their fans back now, you know. So, you know, it's cool because now you got a bigger variety of wrestling. It's not just WWE.
Yeah.
You know, now you got AEW, you do got Impact. So there's, like I said, a bigger variety of wrestling now, you know, which is good.
But the fans are needed. I think a wrestling event is not an event without fans.
Oh my God! When was it last? I believe it was last week. AEW had their pay per view, and the first time that they had a full live crowd.
Okay.
You know, holy shit, man! When you see like you oh my God,
the energy.
And you could just see all the wrestlers are coming out. Even the heels, they come out. They just got a smile on their face because they just miss it.
Yeah.
They just miss it.
It's like coming back home.
Exactly. You know? Even with WrestleMania this past year, the first time they had a crowd. You know. And same thing, you know, even the heels that come out, you see a little smirk on their face because they just miss that energy, you know?
Yeah, how do you be a heel without anybody booing for
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
It's hard.
So, I give those guys so much credit just to work with that, you know? It's got to be so hard, especially being on national TV, working around, you know, with that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And how was, so you coming back into it, how was the atmosphere for, like, the fans? Was that shift, did you see a sudden shift in that, or?
Actually, no. When I came back, there was actually still a pretty, you know, good sized audience when I came back, you know, and the promotion I wrestled for, you know, they were doing shows in Wisconsin because Illinois were very strict with the whole COVID rules, you know, Wisconsin, not so much. So we were doing shows out of Wisconsin,
okay,
you know, and that, I mean, I don't think they really believed in COVID too much over there, because, you know, there was a pretty decent sized crowd, you know.
Yeah, no social distancing.
No.
No masks. No,
you know, I mean, you did have a lot that audience that did have masks on, but yeah. You know, for the most part, man, that was like, oh shit, it's just pretty decent sized crowd for you know, for COVID, you know. So
were you scared?
You know what? There was a part of me that kind of was, because of, you know, the crowd and all that. You know, I still, you know, took my, you know, precautions. You know, I wore masks, you know, on the backstage, you know, in the locker room. I wore it the whole time. The only time I took it off is right before I went out to wrestle. And then when I came back in, I put it right back on right away, you know. I mean, because I got kids, man, you know. That was my biggest concern, is I didn't want to catch something and bring it home to my kids, you know.
Yeah.
So
did they travel with you? Because I know you say you bring them to your shows.
No, they haven't seen me since before COVID, man. Yeah. Yeah, and they want to go so bad, you know. And, you know, I mean, I want them to see me. But, I mean, lately, like I said, I've been doing it in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, but, man, once you get shows kicking off out back in here in Illinois, you know.
When is that? Because I think we're in stage 5 as of today.
Well, right? We do have a show coming up July 3rd in Bridgeview.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it's going to be an outdoor show.
Okay.
For the 4th of July, they're going to have like bands.
That's awesome.
It's a wrestling show. Afterwards, they have fireworks, stuff like that. So
where is that information available for people that want to attend?
Go to Facebook and check out POW Entertainment, POWW Entertainment. Look on their Facebook page. They'll have all the information on there. But it'll be at the Bridgeview Park District, I believe.
All right. So your approach to wrestling, I go through your work, bro. Mm-hmm. You have so much blood everywhere, and you go through some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you prepare yourself for those type of matches? What goes through your mind?
I mean, honestly, there's no physical way to prepare for it. I mean, something like that, it's more of a mental preparation.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, you're going in there, you already know you're going to get hurt. So it's like, okay, you got to prepare yourself. Like, okay, I'm going to walk out hurt. So, you know, you got to just, I mean, there's really no really preparation other than mental preparation for
it. So do you have a playlist? Do you listen to David Goggins talking shit to you for 20 minutes before you go on stage? How do you?
No, honestly, I kind of just get in my own zone. You know, I kind of just, you know, step aside by myself and, you know, kind of just, you know, go over everything in my head and kind of just get in my own zone, you know, like, you know, say a prayer to God, you know, man, bring us back safe as possible, you know, and yeah, that's it, man. I mean, I don't have no ritual, nothing like that. Just.
And so with these extreme fights, right, usually there's bloodshed, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a conversation that you had beforehand?
Like, yeah.
Saying, hey, okay, you're going to cut me, I'm going to get colored. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, you discuss it beforehand, but then sometimes there's, you know, the hard way where you don't plan, and all of a sudden, I mean, stuff goes wrong in the ring all the time, man. You know, especially when you're dealing with, you know, with weapons and cages and stuff like that. You know, one wrong move, and I mean, I've been split open a few times. It wasn't planned. You know, I've got my eyebrows split open. I've got my head split open. You know,
okay.
And that stuff that wasn't planned, it just happened. You know, so I've gotten stitches in my eyebrow. I've gotten stitches in the back of my head, and yeah, it's
all right. So we're gonna go through this right now, man. I want you to run down the list of injuries that you've suffered as a professional wrestler.
Man, head to toe. You're talking about several concussions, shoulder injury, neck injury. My lower back is just fucked, man, bad. You know, yeah, there's like certain workouts I got to stay away from just because of my lower back.
Really?
And that's because of all the bumps I've taken in the ring for so many years. Knees, I've torn my ACL twice. I've got screws in my knee. And then for so many years, putting more of the weight on my good knee, now that one's shot. So now both my knees are just shot, you know. And yeah, I mean, other than just, I can tell I'm going to have a lot of arthritis as I get older. I can feel it now. Yeah.
And it's just crazy to think, bro. Like, throughout this mental preparation, do you ever think of healthcare?
I do, especially now because now that I have kids.
Yeah.
I've kind of taken a step back from all the crazy shit, you know, because of my daughters.
Yeah, and they attend too, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I did do a TLC match like 2 years ago. So my daughters are 7 and 9, but, you know, I was like, okay, let me just get this itch out the way a little bit, you know. And
in front of them.
In front of them, yes.
Did you have this conversation with
them? They were there. I told them. I let them know, you know, that I was going to go through, you know, this match. I told them what was involved in it, you know, and I told, and after the match, you know, before I walked to the back, I did walk up to them because my oldest had this little scared look on her face, but I walked up to her, so I'm okay.
So everything was okay on the drive home?
I'm good. Yeah, everything was good on the drive home.
You guys went for a McFlurry?
Yeah. Took them out for some ice cream, you know, I'm like, I'm okay, you know, don't worry about it, you know. But yeah, I mean, needless to say, all that crazy stuff is kind of in my rear view, kind of, you know.
Okay, so you're done with the crazy.
Yeah, yeah? I say it now, but, you know, once in a while, but, maybe, you know, but for the most part, yeah, I'm done with that.
Okay, so I'm going to give you four just off the chart crazy events that happened past mm-hmm. wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I want you to let me know if it's ruthless, meaning you'll do it, or if it's too ruthless, you won't even try it.
Yeah.
Okay. Pile driver on a bed of thumbtacks.
That I would try. I mean, not right now, but if you asked me before my kids, I would have tried that.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that happen to you before?
No.
No.
No. Not the thumbtacks of the head. I've gotten slammed on barbed wire.
But yeah. How was that? And you're bald, right? Did you get hit in the head?
No, it was all on my back. And the funny part is when I got.
Oh, it's funny. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny. Now that I think about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I got slammed on barbed wire, and I had a barbed wire that went in. Tip of the bone in my elbow, and it's funny because when I hit instantly, I just felt like a tingling and shoot all the way to my hand, where my hand just was like this, you know.
It got stuck like that.
Because of the way the barbed wire hit on my elbow, you know. And as I'm laying there, I'm like, oh shit, you know. First, I thought it was a good idea, you know, man, it could be
you
cool.
Thought it was
yeah,
a good idea.
And then when I hit, I was like, the fuck was I thinking, you know? And then now as I'm laying there, and I'm like, I gotta roll off.
So did it do okay? So that's a good. So do they tell you how to get off of barbed wire, or do they say, shit. All right, you're gonna fall on barbed wire, figure it out?
Pretty much. Go on there. Much. Yeah, yeah. Roll off. I mean, there's really no. I mean, what really safe ways are to get off to roll? You know, get off a better barbed wire.
Double team. Somebody grab me, pick me up. Slowly.
You're talking about you're sitting there, laying there, especially with barbed wire jamming your elbow, and you're just like
you talk like it's a Monday. Yeah. I don't know anything about barbed
wire. And then
wire.
You just kind of slowly got to just roll off and hoping nothing else sticks in as you're rolling off. And yeah,
how's the recovery time for that?
Oh man, I remember I was hurting for about a good. You know, because that was actually, they called it a bunkhouse battle royal, meaning it was a battle royal, but with weapons. Mm. Meaning like a hardcore battle royal.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like the barbed wire, that wasn't the only thing that happened that match, you know. Like it was, I mean, there was ladders, there was chairs, you know, all kinds of stuff. So recovery time, probably about a good 4 or 5 days.
Did it happen at the end of the match? Please tell me.
That was like mid-match.
Mid-match. Yeah, like so you mid-match. Went through half of the other match with half of your back gone on the floor with barbed wire. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, so option two, being bitten by a snake.
Fuck that shit.
You wouldn't?
Hell no. You're talking about Jake Roberts. Hell no.
Jake the Snake Roberts and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Absolutely
Sanders,
not. Hell no. Did you hear the story about that?
Yeah, the backstory.
Did you hear the backstory about that?
How about Macho Man made Jake the Snake get bit
first? Had the snake bite him first?
Yeah. No venom, no nothing. Antibiotics.
He wanted to make sure that snake didn't have no venom in him.
That's a sadistic son of a bitch.
And then you see what Jake Roberts did to the snake before he got to Macho Man?
No, what did he do?
He was so pissed off.
Rattling
No, he fucking hit the snake twice in the head. Just to piss him off because he was so pissed that Macho Man made him had the snake bite him in the leg just for the venom purposes, you know?
Yeah.
So he goes, man, I was pissed off that this, you know, he made me do this. He's like, so when I pull that snake out, he's like, Macho Man's up tied up on the ropes. He goes, I turn my back to Macho Man. He goes, and I hit that snake twice in the head. He goes, and with the second time I hit him, he was just looking for something to bite. He was so pissed. So right away, I turned him and just latched him right on.
Latched on, dude.
That's it.
So that pain, that painful look on Macho Man's
that's
face,
real.
That's 100%
that's real. That's real.
You can't stage that.
Yeah. Because Jake had said that Macho told him, you know, like, once you take the snake off, bring him back and have him do it again. Well, the snake last night, he couldn't get the snake off.
Yeah, because he was so pissed.
Yeah, and so then they even had people from the back come in. They even had Roddy Piper come out because they were telling him in the back, tell him to get that snake off of him, you know. But he's like, and then when Roddy came out, he's like, get the snake off. He's like, I'm trying, but he's not getting off.
Macho Man is a spokesperson for Slim Jim.
Yeah,
he obviously tastes like beef.
He's like, man, he's like, I can't get him off. So then when he finally got him off, Jake's like, hey, you're doing good. You want to bring him back in? He's like, fuck you, get him out of here. You know, so yeah, man, I was like, you know, I love hearing those type of backstories, man. You know?
Those, like, I feed so much into those. It's like, man,
especially
now
the
I can
older
re-watch
ones.
It
right.
With, you know, appreciation and a deeper meaning.
And I remember watching as a kid. Like, they said it was on Saturday morning when that shit happened.
You see all the kids' faces?
I was like 7, 8 years old when that came out, you know? Yeah. I was like, man, I'm thinking about it. Like, man, I can't remember. I can't believe that this was on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm watching as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and then now it's, you know, the PG era. You know, they aren't even, not even close.
Everybody's
to it.
Walking around with rainbows.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, man, it's crazy, you know, how wrestling used to be to what it is now, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially the Attitude Era, bro.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite era.
That was your favorite era?
That was my favorite
era.
What
was your favorite moment?
Man, I have so many favorite moments. You know, like, I love the whole, you know, Stone Cold and Vince McMahon feud.
Mm.
I love the whole Stone Cold and The Rock feud.
Yeah.
You know.
Stone Cold was like the anchor.
Yeah.
He was a definite anchor.
He was. He was, you know. So that was, dude, I loved watching all that, you know. I loved watching all that. I used to, when they come into town, I'd save my last fucking dollar just to go watch them.
Yeah?
Now when they come into town, I'll watch it on TV. I'll check it out on TV.
Not now.
Yeah, hell no.
So the third option is being dropped on a row of fluorescent bulbs.
That I don't know. That I'm not sure. Probably not.
No,
probably not. You know, just because you don't, and those things can slice you up so many different ways, you know. So, yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the very last one is being set on fire, seen on ECW. Craziest.
You know what, though? I will say, before I had thought about doing the whole getting slammed through a flaming table.
You thought about it?
I've thought about it, and I was like,
My eye is twitching right now.
Yeah.
Hold up, my eye's twitching.
I've thought about it. I'm like, yeah, maybe not. I can see that going wrong in so many different ways, so I'm like, yeah, maybe not.
That's a good thing that you stepped away from that.
Right.
My God, dude.
Yeah, ask me before kids, I probably, let's try it, you know, yeah. Yeah, but no, probably not.
Do you think there could ever be a program like ECW in today's times with everything being so rainbow and
today, nowadays,
accepting?
Right. Nowadays, I don't think so.
No?
You know, because everything's so much, there's so much like, cancel culture, stuff like that going on right now, man. I doubt it.
Unless it's on OnlyFans.
That's true. Very true. You just gave me an idea.
That's an idea.
You just gave me an idea.
ECW OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Only that want to watch it will pay for it.
Dude, I think I just found a get rich quick scheme. Hey,
my eyes stopped twitching.
Yeah, man.
My mind is
Twitching right now because of that. Just gave me an idea.
So, what are your wrestling goals for 2021?
Oh man, honestly, man. Realistically, I mean, I've got like 1 foot out the door already. You know, just because of the fact, I mean, I would love to continue this as much as I can, you know, like I've been doing it almost 13 years and every time I step in the ring, I still love it. I still have that passion for it.
Yeah.
Reality is my body's telling me like, hey man, it's time to chill out already, you know? So, I mean, realistically, I'll be 37 this year. I would like to make it till I'm 40, you know, I don't know, but if I can make it till I'm 40, I mean, I think by the time I hit 40, that'll be my cutoff point. So, my goal is from now until then to stay healthy as possible.
That's good.
Yeah, that's my main goal.
I think it's hard to step away.
It is.
You look at people like Undertaker.
Yeah, it's hard.
Who literally went until they couldn't do it no more.
I tried walking away twice and I couldn't do it. Like I literally stepped away for like a year and I couldn't do it.
It's that much of an itch.
It is. It really is.
You think it's addicting?
It's very much addicting.
What is it? The rush?
Definitely the rush and, you know, just the passion that you have for it, you know, especially, you know, if you love wrestling as much as, the people that are actually wrestling, you know, it's just the passion, it's that rush you feel, that adrenaline you feel, you know, it's hard to explain because if you don't watch wrestling, if you're not a wrestler, it's hard to explain what that rush and what that feel is, you know. I mean, the people that are wrestlers, if there's any wrestlers out there watching, you know what I'm talking about, man, it's a whole other feeling, it really is. You know, it's such an adrenaline rush that you can't get off of, you know,
anything else.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Like I said, and I still get it to this day. You know, I've been doing it almost 13 years and I still get that adrenaline rush.
I would love to have a job like that.
Yeah.
Every day just feels like I have to do this more.
Yeah.
And more and more.
Yeah. And like I said, because before COVID, you know, I was wrestling like every other month, you know, every 2 months because I mean, you know, let me just save my body, you know, just kind of take, you know, less bookings here and there. And then those 8 months that I was off, I'm like, man, I just want to get back to it. I missed it so much. I just want to get back to it, you know. And then when I'm there, man, I'm excited. I'm happy to be there. You know, awesome. I can't wait to put on that show.
That's awesome. So we have some listener submitted questions from your last previous episode. Jose Claudio wants to know, during your bout with Chavo Guerrero, did you see his work ethic?
Man. I mean, you're talking about professionalism. Holy cow, man! You could tell, yeah. I saw everything just from, you know, just from the moment he walked out of the curtain till the end of the match. You know, the way he moved in the ring, the way just everything. You know, like I mean, I learned so much just being in there with him. You know, that was an experience. You know, and I mean, you could totally tell. That's WWE status right there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So did he share any words of wisdom with you?
He did. He, you know, because in the ring, when I was working him, I was nervous as shit, you know, being in there with him, you know? And when I was, you know, when I moved him, I hit him and stuff like that, you know, it was kind of light, you know, and then we went to the back. He's like, man, I said, dude, don't be afraid to let your fucking shit in there, man. You know, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I was just nervous. You know, I didn't want
to. So you wanted you to hit him?
Yeah, he's like, dude, he's like, fucking lay it in, you know, lay it down. He's like, you know, don't worry, dude, if you hit me on that, you know, if you hit me hard, you know, apologize afterwards. Don't fucking worry about it, you know, he's like, because, you know, if I can feel that it's not, you know, that it's bullshit, the fans are going to see that it's bullshit. You know, he's like, fucking lay your shit. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Mm. You know.
Were you worried about a receipt check?
I wasn't worried about a receipt check. I just didn't want to, you know, him to be able to, I don't want him to go to the promoter and be like, hey, you had me come in and work this dude, these motherfuckers, you know, stiffing the shit out of me, you know. So that was my biggest worry, you know.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, it worked against me because, you know, he said I was a little too light with him, you know. So I was like, shit. And I was like, well, fuck, let's do it again. You know?
All right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and bro, he's so cool. Like, you know, we still talk to this day here and there on social media. You know, we message each other. You know, I message him, you know, and dude, he responds back quick. You know, so, you know, it's like, you know, and he always says, man, you know, he always take care of me when I come down to Chicago, you know, so it's cool to have, you know, a guy that I grew up watching.
That's
in
amazing.
WWE,
that
man.
That is amazing.
You know, one of my favorite tag teams, the Guerreros, you know,
yeah,
so.
Latino yeah. Latino heat, man.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, man.
You know, and, you know, one of the things he always told me, and that, something I don't do now. Before, man, I used to always come in. One of my offices, I just come in, just punch, you know. And he would, and I would, I was doing the match with him, you know. And we went to the back. He's like, hey, man, he's like, lay off so many punches. He's like, stop punching so much. He's like, you know, you gotta remember, you know, it's the work, man. You keep punching me to the fans. He's like, it's gonna make you look stupid because, like, man, this dude keeps punching him, but he's not getting marked up. He's like, it's making you look stupid. Yeah. So stay away from punching so much. You know, he's like, why do you think I'm always using forearms? You know, he's like, because, you know, you don't want to throw too many punches to the face because
they're not a boxer. You're wrestling.
Yeah.
You're not boxing.
So to the after that, man, I watch. You know, like I barely throw punches now. Mm. You know, if I do, I do it when it means something, when it counts.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that he taught me, and I still use it to this day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good takeaway.
Hell yeah.
Next question I have is, what is a daily regimen like for a wrestler? What does that look like?
So, like, on, you know, like, for me, like, for show days, you know, usually morning, you know, I get up in the morning, I go train, you know, go work out, you know, come home, make sure I eat something good. I mean, you know, me being a dad, it's like, after that, I spend the rest of the day with my kids, you know, before I head out, you know, and then go to the show, we get to the show, you know, get in, you know, I kind of get in the ring, you know, move around a little bit, you know, talk to the guy I'm going to work with, just come up with some ideas. And after that, just kind of, you know, just go over everything in my head, start getting in game mode, you know, so that way once bell time comes, man, I'm ready to go.
Okay. And is there any hygienic preparation? Because I know that a lot of wrestlers are hairless, right? From the body, right? Do you shave before your fight?
Well, I'm not a hairy
you're,
guy.
You're a hairless cat.
Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. I'm not a hairy guy, so I got, you know, don't worry about that. But you do get some guys that are just like, man, if I got to work with him, damn.
He's rushing.
Yeah, no, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, and yeah, and then you get then you get the guys that probably forgot to put on the order before they left the house. You know, and you can smell it as soon as they fucking grab me in the headlock. Like, oh shit. You know, and it's gonna be one of those type of matches. You know, and it's just like. You know, and when you're done, it's like you can kind of still smell it on you the whole time, you know? Just like, man, I just want to go hurry up and go home and shower.
Is that guy blacklisted?
Or No.
Everybody just knows him as Smelly Joe, good luck.
Yeah, yep. You know, and brother, it can be brutal out there. You know, shit, I think I'd rather take a chair shot to the head and deal with that.
Talking about that, are you trained on how to take a chair shot to the head? Because I know in WWE right now, you cannot do headshots.
No chair shots.
But in 90s... That's all you saw. People would prep their heads
That's all you saw.
So are you ever trained on that?
You remember that match with the Rock and Mankind?
Oh, my God.
Mankind was handcuffed behind his back.
Yeah.
And the Rock went
was
to
just
town on his head.
Slamming his head, just hitting
went to
him.
Town on his head.
And at one point, he missed Mankind, hit the ropes, hit himself in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, yeah, they went balls to the wall with chair shots back then. Yes.
Concussion.
Yeah.
You have a certain amount of those, right?
Yeah, I've had about three of them.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you're given a certain amount, like how many lives you have to a cat.
Yeah.
You only have 9 lives.
Yeah.
You only have like how many concussions before you're done.
Yeah, I don't even know, but I know guys that had twice as much as I had, you know.
Yeah. They can read?
What's that?
They can read?
Yeah, so I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So far, you know, you know, but as far as the chair shots, man, it's just, you know, you just got to take them. You know, if you want to protect yourself, you protect yourself. You got guys out there just don't get, boom, all head.
If you're gonna get hit,
if I'm gonna get hit in the head, hit me in the head. But my hand's coming here.
You're gonna block it.
I'll take it here. But you know,
is there a certain spot in your body that you could take a shot to?
My back.
Your back.
My back. I'll take it. I'll take it in my back all day.
All day.
Yeah, I'll take it in my back all day.
Crazy. You're crazy, dude. Like, my eye is twitching again. Like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
So now that you're transitioning more into acting, right? Mm-hmm. I know you're being cautious with taking these extreme fights.
Yeah.
Are you more cautious now knowing that acting is coming in play?
Absolutely.
You don't want to ruin your moneymaker
there? Absolutely, man. I mean, not that I'm good looking by any means, but, you know, my luck, shit. I mean, I probably won't have an audition for months, but then I'll have a wrestling match. I'll get my face busted open 2 days later. I get called in for an audition. I'm walking in with a busted face, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very cautious with it, you know? So, man, you'll always catch me. You know, I got a shot coming my way. I'm always turning my head all the way because I just, you know, like you said, I got to make sure I got my face protected, you know, and especially for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, especially for that reason because, I mean, it's happened before where I've had a match and then like 3 days later I'm getting called in for an audition. You know, so it's like, yeah, nah, I don't want to get my face busted and I'm getting called in for an audition.
I think at a certain point you have to kind of like learn how to just cut that switch off. Kind of like John Cena, where mm-hmm. he doesn't really perform as much. The Rock mm-hmm. completely stepped away. I mean,
that guy
is just A-list Hollywood.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I think at a certain point, like after, you know, you get all these roles, you're like, all right, I got to wrestling.
Exactly.
I can't injure my body. I can't ruin the face.
Exactly. You know,
this money going.
Exactly. So, you know, you figure I got it, you know, I mean, I got that going for me, you know. You know, me being a father, you know, the two daughters, you know, I got to make sure my body stays as healthy as it possibly can, you know, so I completely changed like my style around with wrestling as I did before, you know, before I really didn't care too much,
you're more
conscientious, you know? Yeah. And now I'm just like, you know, like talk over a match, right? You know, you want to do this? If I feel it's too dangerous, like, nah, I'm comfortable doing that, you know. Try to keep it as safe as possible.
No, I got a rom-com next week.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly, be in front of a camera next week. You can't do that, you know, but nah, you know, I'm very cautious now about what I do.
All right. So one of the projects that you're in this year is an all-Latino cast, Concrete Road. Shout out John Villanueva.
John Villanueva, my dude.
South Bend, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
Major heavy hitters in this film.
Absolutely.
You have JT Campos and Lisa Bratt Martinez, mm-hmm. right, that mm-hmm. were in Queen of the South.
Mm-hmm.
You have Noelle G, who is like the Hollywood Hector.
Exactly.
Every single movie, Bruce Almighty, Training Day, this guy
absolutely.
Has been Purge, he's been
Purge,
in everything.
Fast and Furious.
All of them, Hector. Okay, he's been Hector,
but
you got him in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this film was going to be what it's going to be?
No.
No?
I had no clue it was going to be this way. And like you said, man, shout out John Villanueva, my guy, you know. I had no idea. And as you know, as far as I know, it was just going to be like a 45, 50 minute film. And then, you know, John was going to bring it out before, right around when COVID hit. And when COVID hit, obviously everything stopped, you know, and he just kept continuing with it. And I don't even think he knew it was going to be this big as it was going to be, you know.
It just snowballed. I mean, you have Neo talking about it. You got Soulja Boy talking mm-hmm. about it. You have all these celebrities
you know,
sending just their goodwills and wishes for
right.
the film.
And the thing was is that, you know, I had seen it, like, on Facebook, on social media, you know. So, you know, and they would show, like, little trailers about it. You know, I'm like, oh, man, this looks pretty cool, you know. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, like, weeks later, I get a text from Enrique Guzman, mm-hmm. you know, and he was like, hey, you know, are you interested in doing this film? You know, Concrete Roles. He's looking for some more Latinos, you know, and you know, shout out Enrique Guzman. You know, he came out looking, you know, looked out, you know, and I was like, yeah, for sure. You know, I've been seeing it on social media.
Yeah.
So I went in. I thought it was gonna be just a 1 day thing. You know, it needed some extra Latinos. I went in. After that, I got, you know, John hit me up, you know, again, you know, for another role, you know, and then, you know, we started talking more and more, me and John, you know, and started becoming friends and everything, you know, and then he saw, like, my other work that I've done,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's like, oh, you know, he complimented me, you know, he's like, and he started giving me, like, speaking roles, you know, and, you know, and then I became a character. And
oh,
then,
so first, starting off, you weren't really...
No, I was just going to be just, like an extra Latino, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your role in the film? Who are you in the movie?
I play one of the members of the powerful man, you know, and he has almost like a cartel crew behind him, and I play one of the members.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your name is Ramon.
Ramon, yeah.
Any relation to Ruthless
Ramon?
You
know, Ramon? What's funny is that, no, he asked me, he's like, hey, man, what, you know, because he asked me, he's like, is there a name you want to be? I'm like, dude, use my wrestling name, use Ramon. It's my, you know.
It was your pick?
Yeah, it was my pick.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I use Ramon as my wrestling name.
So nice.
Ooh, I like it.
So when is it expected to release?
It's expected, as far as I know, hopefully by like the end of this year.
Okay.
You know, and man, when I tell you, you gotta see this film.
Dude, there's mansions in there. There's jets. You guys shot it at a strip club.
At a
I'm
strip
gonna
club.
Watch it.
Yep.
Titties?
Dude, I was, and like I did a scene in the.
Sorry. I forgot my wife watching my show.
I did a scene in the, you know, in the strip club. I did a scene in the airport hangar. I did a scene in the mansion. So being in these sets, holy shit, you know, I couldn't believe it.
It's larger than life.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, you know. And then this past weekend, he had me in the scene with JT Campos, you know, which was a fucking experience, man. Seeing this guy work. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, he's a happy-go-lucky guy, you know, likes to have fun. And then all of a sudden, as soon as he yelled action.
Change.
Just instantly. And just seeing that, I was like, wow. Wow.
Nice.
Just seeing from action to cut, what he does, I was like, holy shit.
You know? He's been on a lot of projects too, man. He's
and, you know, when, like I said, you know, John, thank you again, man. Just, I feel blessed to be a part of this project. You know, because it's honestly, like, once you... see the story. The story is a beautiful story.
Romeo and Juliet, modern. Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet, but then, you know, it's a love story, but then you got your action, you got your drama. It's an emotional roller coaster, that's for sure.
That's fire.
An
dude.
Emotional roller coaster. Yeah.
And it's his first project, too. It's his first John, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, what would be the biggest takeaway you could take away from this film?
From this film? Mm-hmm. Man, I would have to say, one, I think, when Latinos come together, man, it's powerful.
Mm.
It's powerful, bro. I mean, I think, you know, we get overlooked.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
And
we're marginalized.
And when we come together, bro, it's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because we just want to see each other succeed.
And we're underrepresented.
We're very underrepresented. Very. And like I said, we come together, man, we want to show out. And we want to show everyone that, you know, we can do it just as good.
That's fire.
And this project is going to show that.
I cannot wait.
This project is going to show that, you know. And like I said, you got the likes of, you know, JT Campos, Lisa Martinez, you know, Noel G. You know, if they didn't think this project was good enough, they wouldn't have jumped on.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, for them to jump aboard, you know, like, this project means something.
That's fire, dude.
You know?
That's fire.
I can't wait. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
I can't wait either, man. There's been so much talk for the past like year and a half on it. It's like, we have to see it.
Yeah.
I got to see it.
You know, I got to see it. And, you know, the fact that, when, you know, first day on set, you know, like I already knew some of the actors there, you know, a lot of them also I had just met. You know, now, man, it's just like it's one big family, bro. Right? That's it, you know? So I'm very blessed and, you know, to be part of this project.
That's great.
Because I feel like I just gained, you know, a whole, you know,
another connection.
Yeah, another connection.
Another
exactly.
Family.
Exactly.
So, besides Concrete Roles, what other projects you got coming out this year?
I actually just wrote my very first short film.
Congratulations!
Thank you, and I'll be filming it next month.
All right. So, what is it called?
Bloodbound.
What is it about?
It's about these three brothers. They lose their parents in a car accident, and the dad, he makes he has his oldest son make a promise to him that, hey, you know, one day, me and your mom ain't gonna be here. You being the oldest, you know, the day we're gone, you know, it's your job to take care of your two younger brothers. You know, unfortunately, years later, the parents die in a car accident. The oldest brother spirals out. He ends up joining the military, leaving the two brothers by themselves.
Mm.
You know, and then the dad, he owns his own mechanic shop. He's owned his own mechanic shop. He's busted his ass to get him out of the bad neighborhood, move him to the suburbs. But now the two younger brothers gotta survive. And okay, now we gotta try to, you know, pay the shop. We gotta try to keep the shop open. We gotta pay the mortgage,
cover
the bills with no resources.
Mm.
The middle brother finds a easy way out. Gets in the drug game to make that quick buck. Gets in a little too deep. You know, 12 years later, the older brother comes back home. Middle brother wants nothing to do with him. You know, he wants nothing to do with him. You know, he left us when we needed you the most. Little brother's happy to see him. You know, because he's got his brother back.
Yeah.
So in the midst of everything, as you know, as the middle brother wants nothing to do with his older brother, he's also in a lot of trouble with you know, this whole drug game.
Yeah,
you know?
He got tied up into something.
Yep. So now he's got to deal with that, and it's just I packed a lot in this 15 minute film.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was a part of this project?
You got me, and you know, shout out to everyone that's jumping on board, man. Shout out to my cast of this film, man. Enrique Guzman. Chris Marquez, Enrique Kings, Wendy Acosta, Rocky Lopez, Marcos Burgos, Santana Cruz, and then I got some child actors, Chase Muir, Elijah Roldan, my cousin Adrian Salazar, you know, he's jumping on. So, man, shout out to all you guys, man, for jumping on board. And I can't wait, man.
Any acting resolutions for 2021?
Man, I'm still waiting to get on, still waiting on a speaking role on TV, man.
Speaking into existence, man.
Yeah.
Speaking into existence.
You know, and I've been so close. I mean, you know, I've been on auditions, I've been close, I've been callbacks, you know. I just had an audition for a reoccurring role for Power. I'm hoping something hits, you know.
Bro, but the thing is, to have those auditions, to have those callbacks, that right there is acknowledgement mm-hmm. by itself.
Right.
If you weren't worthy for the role, you wouldn't even be sought after. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're even being called back, saying, hey, okay, we got you a callback, we got you, you know, availability check, we got you an audition.
Right.
That means something, because right. you have something that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be for that role, but it's right. even for something, bro.
Right, so that's what I'm hoping for, man. I'm still waiting for that spot, so
that's awesome.
Hopefully.
That's awesome. What are your social media handles?
On Instagram, find me at Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, .Villegas, V-I-L-L-E-G-A-S, 84. And on Facebook, just Danny Villegas.
All right. Any special shout-outs?
Man, you know what? I want to send a shout-out to all the parents out there that have been going through this whole COVID process and dealing with e-learning with their kids, having to deal with jobs and struggling as far as, like, what am I going to, you know, babysitters, e-learning with kids, trying to get to work, and all the other struggles in between. Man, shout out to all y'all. It's been a hell of a fucking year. Shout out to y'all, man. Strong as hell. That's all I gotta say. And shout out to all the independent artists out there who are trying to make their name and trying to, you know, make a name in Chicago for themselves, man. Shout out to all you guys. And shout out to my wife Rosario, man. She's got my back through everything as far as wrestling. As much as she wants me to stop wrestling, she still has my back. She still, you know, 100% has my back through that whole acting. And my brother, shout out to you, man. Thank you so much for having me again.
Bro,
seriously.
Bro.
Thank you.
This was a pleasure. You definitely satisfied my wrestling itch. I'm definitely going to be coming back for more. Okay?
Let's do this, man.
There's
going to
be so many more questions that
absolutely,
I have.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But keep on pushing, bro.
Thank you.
See where you're going, and I love it.
Thank you.
I see you're starting to get into stunt work now. You're getting heavier into acting, bro.
Yeah.
You're making your dent.
Yeah, and like I said, man, that's why I said I have one foot out the door with wrestling, and then once that door is completely closed, I'm just putting 100% on acting, man. That's, you know, that's
awesome,
what I want to do.
Bro.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see.
All right. You guys make sure you check out the shop and support us by buying some merch. We drop a new episode every Monday. Follow us on all digital streaming platforms. And if you're just listening to this on Spotify, Apple, Radio Public, make sure you visit www.indiecenter.tv for the podcast visuals. Okay. The crazy stories that you're hearing from Danny Villegas, you're going to see video. Come and check it out. Until next Monday, guys. Peace. Cut.
Left over here, man. We had to hold it in.
Yeah? We're feeling good. I heard it, too. I heard it. It's good. I like it.
What happened?
Good, man.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys.
That's good, man.
Thank you.
That was really fun. That was really fun.
I appreciate it, man.
If you enjoyed this week's episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button to stay centered on all Indie Center podcast episodes. If you are an independent creator and have a story to share and want to have a sit down, please email me at indiecenter.podcast@gmail.com. That's indiecenter.podcast@gmail.com. If you have sponsorship inquiries, I'd love to help local businesses. Please email me at indiecenter.podcast@gmail.com. Until next Monday, guys. Peace.